Blessings, my dear brethren. This is Pastor Joe Wood of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church in Elkin, North Carolina. Tonight, we continue our journey through the life of David, and I would love to share with you another word from the Lord. I pray that the message from last week was a blessing to you. After the service last week, I received some comments indicating that the Lord used the message in a great way to speak to some of our church members, and they were needing to hear that message. And my prayer for you tonight is that this message will help you as well. Last week, if you were not able to attend in person, I spoke on the subject of the steps one should take in order to receive a word from the Lord. One should cry out to Him was the first point. Secondly, one should cry out to Him in belief that He is able to do all things, and believe that He will. And finally, announce to God that you believe that He will do it, and announce like He has already done it. And there are things that you and I need to see as important, and thus create a process that one needs to take when they are desiring for the Lord to help them immediately. Listen, we must be persistent. We must be persistent and never lose our faith in the Lord to do what He says He will do. Now, tonight we're switching gears. Let's set the scene of what is taking place. Saul is fighting the Philistines, but after he gets done, that doesn't mean that David is not on his mind. The end of chapter 23, Saul finishes the defeat of the Philistines, and then he decides to go back out on the hunt for David. Now, I'm sure that that David enjoyed the time that he had from the chasing of Saul, but we know, and David knew, that Saul would come running. He knew that Saul would come running. And thus, we find David in a cave in the wilderness of Engedi. But there is one problem, and that's where we are going to pick up tonight, and that is this. Now, before we get into the message, I would like to challenge you with a thought tonight, that no matter who is in the office of authority, one must respect the ones in higher authority. And tonight we're going to see a wonderful example of David's relentless respect for Saul. Even though Saul was terrible to David, he still went above and beyond what he had to for the respect of higher authority. So follow along with me as we look at David's example here of David's relentless respect for the king. 1 Samuel chapter 24. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi." And then Saul took 3,000 men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, "Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." And then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. Pray with me before we get into the rest of the message. Father, I pray now that you would bless the reading and the proclamation of your word tonight. God, how I pray that it would fall upon us anew and refresh. God, thank you for this word, and help us to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see that we're switching gears. Saul is now on the pursuit, And the first thing that we see here is David's location was known by Saul. In verses 1 through 3, we see that David's location was known by Saul. Now, how did Saul know where David was? Well, the Bible teaches us here that the spies told on David. It says in verse 1, it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi." Now, there were spies everywhere by this time in David's life, and there was nowhere David could go without someone desiring to tell Saul his exact location. Thus, as Saul gets back from his stint fighting the Philistines, the spies tells him David's exact location. They said he was in Engedi. Now, Preacher's Outline and Sermon Bible states, David was hiding in the wilderness or desert of Engedi, which was an oasis with plenty of fresh water and fruitful vineyards. Engedi was located east of Hebron, close by the sea. End of quote. So David was hiding out in a cave in there where he should have been perfectly fine, but all of Saul's people were out to get him. No matter where David went, someone was striving to tell Saul where David was. So we see that the spies told on David. But secondly, when we think about David's location was known by Saul, we see that Saul, as he knows where David is, took 3,000 men after David. Look with me in verse 2. It says, "Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats." 3,000 men were gathered together for one purpose, and that was to kill David. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why would it take 3,000 men to take down one man? Simply put, the very reason is because Saul had tried and tried to kill David, and he had zero success. So he took basically like a task force of the best to go with him to kill David. But there was one problem. There was one problem, and that leads me to my second point. David also knew where Saul was. Verse 3. "And he came to the sheepcotes by the way where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave." So David and Saul were in the same cave. So as darkness loomed over the area, Saul decided to go into a cave, unknowing that in some cave stood the same cave stood David. Saul knew the vicinity of where David was, but didn't have a clue where exactly that he was. Thus, he goes into a cave to seek shelter, and there will be a surprise await for him. And that was, David knew exactly where Saul was. They were in the same cave, but Saul didn't know David was in there, but David knew Saul was. And so David, through his man, found out that Saul was in the cave, but they know that Saul doesn't know that they are in there. You know, it's like a cat and a mouse game going on. You have to know that in David's mind, if he could sneak up on Saul, he could kill him and all the worries of his life would be over. Now, I'm not going to lie. That would be where my mind would have probably been, and yours too. But that is not what David does. So let's see what verse 4 teaches us about David's thoughts. So we've seen David's location was known by Saul, and we've seen that David also knew where Saul was, but we see that David's men suggested to kill Saul. Verse 4. "And the man of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. And then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily." So what do you see here? I see here that David's men suggested that this was a sign from God to kill Saul. You know, and I can see why they would think that. You could say that, hey, Saul is in the Saul has come into this cave just like David. Saul has no idea that David is there. And David, it is God's ordained command that you go kill Saul. Well, there's only one problem. And listen, this is a great teaching moment. You know, I believe that David's men had good intentions, but let's remember that just because someone says it's the Lord's will doesn't mean that it always is. David had to make the decision whether or not that it was. I'm sure that he desired for it to be, but it's not always that way when we think about what God has in store for us. See, the human flesh part of us always desires for our wishes to come true, but sometimes that doesn't happen. And this is one of the cases in David's life. We all know that David probably wanted Saul to die, or at least he wanted to get rid of him because of the constant pursuit for his life. But he also had to remember that Saul was a king and that he must respect his authority. He must do that. And so also David had to remember that God had made the covenant with David. And he and there was nothing that had changed about that. He had to remember the promise that it made, that David would be delivered from Saul and he would be the next king. But I want you to understand, after a period of time of relentless pursuit by the king Saul, I'm sure that in David's mind, this was easier said than done. Place yourself in David's shoes. If you were constantly running from the king, and there came a chance that you would kill the king, you know, I can't say for certain that I would not have a bad thought or an evil thought that would come in my mind. But David knew the covenant. David knew God. But David didn't exactly listen to God. What do we see here in verse 5? So David is challenged by his men to kill Saul. But in verse 4b, it says, "Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately." So what did David do? He cut off a part of Saul's robe. So in the darkness of the cave, David tiptoed and crept up enough to cut off only a corner of Saul's robe. Obviously, Saul had taken off his robe and I'm sure laid it aside some distance away, which enabled David to creep up unnoticed. Now, could he have done a lot more damage? Certainly. But David didn't listen to his men. Rather, he remembered the covenant that God had given him, and he didn't attempt to kill Saul. I wonder in this time if he would have killed Saul, if the story would end differently. It could possibly. We may never know, but David didn't kill Saul even though his people said it was God's will for him to do it. I'm going to say something that we all need to learn from this message. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, I want you to hear this, okay? Please listen to me tonight. Every one of us, must discern what the Lord is saying in your life more than what someone else says. Listen, there may be people that give you sound advice, and that is all good and well. However, are you listening? There is no one that you need to listen to than the voice of God, more importantly. Now, sometimes God speaks through people that are godly and that can help, but I'd like to go back to the point that we all must allow the Spirit to speak directly to us in order to receive the will of God. And so David cuts just a portion of his robe off. And as he goes back to his people, David knew that he had done wrong. David knew that he had done wrong. David knew that he shouldn't have even done that. Because what does he say here in verse 5? And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's scourge. So what do we see here? David is filled with grief over the fact that he had been disrespectful to his master, their ruler. Since Saul was appointed by God, the men could not carry out the attack to kill him. As one commentator wrote, to kill the Lord's anointed would be an act of outright rebellion against the Lord. For the Lord commanded his people not to curse their rulers. In fact, the hand of God's judgment had fallen in the past when God's people rebelled against their leaders. End of quote. So we see here that David began to feel sorry. David was he felt remorse about what he had done. And I want to share with you something that I believe in closing that we need to all remember. And just as David had relentless respect for the king, and he felt sorry for what he had done, you and I need to have respect for our leaders in this nation. I know there are a lot of politicians that we don't agree with, but look, if David can respect Saul, you and I can respect our politicians as well, our leaders in our nation. Preacher's Outline and Sermon Bible states, we are to honor our leaders, not curse or ridicule them, certainly not assault or kill them. Even when a leader is wrong, we are to show respect and honor for the position the person holds. If the leader is wrong, acting in some wicked or evil way, we should do everything in our power to correct the leader. But in correcting, God demands that we still show respect and honor for the leader. If we retaliate in some unkind, lawless, or violent way, we stoop to the level of the wicked and corrupt leader. Such disrespectful, dishonoring, and lawless behavior makes us no better than the immoral and unjust leaders. Folks, I want you to please ponder on what I just stated. And the next time one of our leaders makes us mad, may we be less abrasive in our comments and respect them as our leaders. But more importantly, should we not only respect them, we should pray for them. First and foremost, we should pray if they are not saved, that we need to be praying for their salvation. Because no matter if they are Republican, Democrat, or Independent, whatever, I don't care what they are, Jesus Christ died for them as much as He died for you and I. So I challenge you all to pray for your leaders, pray for their souls, pray that they will lead in a godly way, pray for their safety and all those, and let us respect them as David respected Saul. May we do the same. So may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you grace.